So if you're too cold, I guess you'll have to wear a coat. And if you're too hot, take your coat off, I guess. That's the only thing I can say until we get it figured out. All right. Tonight, again, next Wednesday night, we're going to be preaching on the book of Acts, starting our Bible lesson there. But tonight, I just want to talk about this subject tonight. Three words. God is able. God is able. The Bible says that several places. It actually says the words, God is able. It says that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, Luke 3, 8, Romans 11, 23, and 14, 4, and then, and then 2 Corinthians 9, 8. So look over there if you would. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. The Bible says there, of course, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the book of the church at Corinth, and he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God is able. Man, if you don't remember anything else from tonight, remember those three words. God is able. Let's say that. God is able. Let's say it again. God is able. Is that just some little catchy phrase? No. That's the scripture. That's the word of God. My father-in-law used to wear a pin on his lapel on his suit coat all the time that said, "God is able." He said that. He had heart attacks. He had open heart surgery. He had cancer surgeries. I mean, he had more operations than you can count almost, but he always wore that pin, "God is able." Well, let's look at some things that God is able to do tonight, okay? First of all, he's able to save us. Isn't that a blessing? You think about this. I don't know you, and you don't know me as far as our past goes, and that's good. I don't want you to know all the bad things I did, amen? Those are under the blood of Christ. Thank God for that. We don't dwell on those things anymore. And a lot of people go back and dig them back up again, but that's not a good idea. Leave them back there. The Bible says that God has forgot about them. They're under the blood of Christ, so don't take them. I mean, forget about it. That's what Paul said. Just forget about those things that are back there. But I'm glad he has the power to save us. Look at Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews, we're going to use our Bibles quite a bit tonight, so if I go fast and you can't find these verses, then don't worry about it, okay? Because I got to go through here pretty quick. I've got 11 things here tonight I want to give you, and I'm going to try to get out at 7 o'clock, because I know that you guys, I appreciate you coming, and I know it's a sacrifice, and some of you hadn't eaten yet. So 29 minutes, we're going to do 11 things here. Hebrews 7, verse 25 says this. Now this is talking about the Lord. By the way, you need to understand this in the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He wrote this to the Hebrews to show how much better Christ was than all kinds of things, than Moses, than the angels, than the Levitical priesthood, all kinds of different things. Here he is writing, and he says in verse 23, Hebrews 7, 23, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered, to continue by reason of death. But this man," talking about Christ, "because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Praise God, he's able to save them that come unto God by him. I'm glad about that. There are people out there who believe that God has already predestined whom he's going to take to heaven and whom he's not going to take to heaven. Now, we believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe God knows everything. God already knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. But God has not already picked out some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. We know that. We've talked about that in Sunday school. The Bible says, who will have all men to be saved. But that crowd that believes that, they also believe that man They believe several different things. But one of the things, they believe in the depravity of man, which we also believe. We believe man's depraved. I mean, he's wicked, sinner. But we believe there is something that man can do. That is, repent of his sins and by faith trust Christ as his Savior. What is that right here? The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. What do you have to do to be saved? You have to come unto God. And you do that by repentance and faith. Now, that crowd I was talking about a while ago, I know there are different beliefs in all this, but the basic thing is called Calvinism. That's what it's called. And they, those ones that believe that, that man is so totally depraved, there's nothing they can do to be saved, they believe that man cannot come unto God on his own. That's what they believe. Well, according to this verse, they can. January 23rd, 1979, I came unto God. I repented of my sins and trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. And if you're out there and you knock on a door and you talk to some of these people, they'll say that you can't come to be saved unless the Lord draws you. That's one of the things they say. Jesus said this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So all men have already been drawn unto God. I mean, it's already been paid for. Amen. When Christ stretched out his hands and died on the cross. So if a person will repent of their sins and by faith trust Christ as their Savior, then they can be saved. That's what the Bible says. I don't know who's going to be saved, who's not going to be saved, because I'm not God. So my responsibility is to try to make sure that everyone knows how that they can be saved. Amen? That's our responsibility. So I'm glad that he can save us. Number two, he can not only save us, but he can keep our souls. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. There are people that believe that we have to persevere in order to maintain our salvation. Now, if our salvation is up to us, brethren, we're in big trouble. You know that? Some days I feel like persevering, some days I don't. Sometimes I think I am persevering, and sometimes I think I'm not. Amen? Hey, we didn't have anything to do with purchasing our salvation. We have nothing to do with keeping our salvation. Jesus Christ had the power to purchase us or redeem us, and he has the power to keep us. I'm not saved because I persevere or continue unto the end. I like what one preacher said. I don't believe in perseverance of the saints. I believe in the preservation of the saints. Now, we ought to persevere. Amen? Not to stay saved, but because we are saved. We ought to persevere. In other words, we ought to keep in the race. We ought to stay in the race that God has laid out for us. We ought not get out. We ought not quit. We ought not sit down. We need to just keep on running that race that the Lord's given us. But my salvation doesn't depend on my faithfulness. It depends on his. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, now this is Paul again. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What have I committed unto Christ? My soul. Amen? And Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And hey, my salvation doesn't depend on me. God is able to save me and God is able to keep me saved. We believe in eternal security. Thank God for that. Look over to Matthew chapter number 10, if you would. Matthew chapter number 10. Not the verse I wanted. Let me see here. John chapter 10, excuse me. Those verses there were good verses, but different than what I was thinking. John chapter 10 and verse 27. John 10, 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's a lot of doctrine taught right there in those scriptures. I mean, lots of doctrine right there. We're sheep, and we're supposed to follow Him. He's our shepherd, right? The Bible says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, brethren, how in the world can we lose our salvation if we have eternal life and we shall never perish? I mean, it either has to be this way or it has to be the other way. We either have eternal life or we don't. We're either never going to perish or there is a possibility that we are. I'm glad I don't have to go to bed at night and wonder if I died during the night whether I've persevered enough or done enough good that's going to outweigh my bad. I'm glad I don't have to worry about it. Because January 23rd, 1979, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and He gave me eternal life, and I shall never perish. When I'm explaining eternal life or security of the believer to someone that just gets saved, and by the way, that's very important in our presentation of the gospel. If you have the chance to talk to somebody about getting saved, don't just have them pray and then leave it there. Give them the assurance of their salvation. Because the old devil is going to move in right when you leave, and he's going to say, oh man, you didn't mean that. What are they talking about? Some guy comes in here, some lady comes in here and tells you that, and you think you pray a little old prayer and that's going to take you to heaven when you die? And if we don't show them Bible verses to assure them of their salvation, they're going to have a rough time with this. So here's what I do. I read verse 28, where it says there, the end of it, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I just use an illustration. I'll take my pen, and I'll say, here we are. This pen illustrates us. And when we get saved, Jesus Christ wraps His hand around us. That's what it says, isn't it, right there? Exactly what it says. And then God the Father wraps His hand around the whole thing. And I'll say, try to take that pen out of there. And I squeeze it pretty hard. And I mean, I'm sure maybe somebody could, but most of the time, they're not going to get that pen out of there because I'm hanging on to it real good. And again, this is just an illustration. And they'll pull on it, and they're not going to be able to pull it out. And I'll say, that's just a little earthly illustration to represent the fact that when we get saved, Jesus Christ secures us in His hand. God the Father has His hand around the whole thing. And there's nobody or nothing that can pluck us out of His hand. Amen. We have eternal life. He's able to keep our souls. Number three, He's able to do more than answer our request. One of my favorite verses. It ought to be one of your favorite also. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Wow, what a verse. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. If you don't have a favorite verse, and you don't have to have a favorite verse, but I'm sure probably most folks do. But if you hadn't got one, this would be a good one to adopt right here. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, in our little finite minds, we cannot even comprehend the depth of that verse right there. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I can think big things. Can you? I can ask big things. I've asked the Lord for some big things before. He can not only do more than that, but He can do abundantly more than that. Not only abundantly more, but exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Wow. He's got the power to do it. He is able to more than answer our prayer requests. Hey, you keep on praying. Whatever your prayer requests are, if the Lord hasn't answered those yet, if He hasn't told you specifically no, then keep on praying. Amen? Hang in there. Don't give up. Pray. It might take a year or 2 years or 3 years or 20 years or 25. But keep on praying because He has the power to answer our request. Number four, He has the power to build us up. Look at Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And verse number 32. I like talking about what God can do. Amen? What a God we serve. Wow. What a God. It was cold this morning. I don't know what time y'all got out, but when I left the house, it was cold. I walked outside, and I walked back in and said, "Ooh, it's cold out there. And I looked at my on my phone. I looked at the weather thing here for Ridgecrest. Now, when I left the house, it said it was 19. That's cold. And yet, who made that? Who made the cold? God did. Amen? You walk out. I walked out last night, and at least where I was looking, I couldn't see the whole sky, but there weren't any clouds in the sky, just as clear as can be, and it was cold. And you know, God did all of that. He did every bit of it. He put the stars out there. He made the winter. He made the summer. He made the fall. He made the spring. He made it all. And He is able to build us up. The Bible says right here, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Sanctified. What does God want us to do? He wants to build us up. Amen? As He builds us up, what's that mean? That means that we become more like Him. And as we become more like Him, then more of Him is going to rub off on other people. Right? And then who's going to get all the glory and the honor for that? Him. He is able to build us up. Hey, don't ever think you're worthless. Maybe you've heard that before in your life. Maybe somebody, maybe your parents. Hope not. But not everybody has parents that are what they ought to be. Maybe you've heard it from grandpa or grandma or somebody at work or some teacher, and they've just said, "You know what, boy, you're worthless." Well, I'm telling you this, according to the Bible, you're not worthless. According to the Bible, He can build you up. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter how lacking in intelligence you are. God can build you up and make something of your life if you'll let Him. Amen? He can make us stand. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 4. He can make us stand. You know, sometimes it's hard to just stand when nobody else is standing. Maybe you're at work or maybe you're at a relative's house or wherever. And it just, in everyday life, it just doesn't seem like people are standing for the Lord like they ought to. Or where you're at. But He can make you stand. The Bible says in Romans 14:4, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand." You know what we need in 2013? We need God's people just to take a stand and say this. This is what the Bible says. This is where I stand. It doesn't matter what you think or what you think. It matters what the Bible says. Amen? And you know, not everybody has the same opinion. I'm sure you know that, right? I've heard this. You probably have too. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one and they're all different. My opinions and your opinions, that's okay. My opinions might not mean anything. Your opinions might not mean anything. They're just opinions. But this is more than just opinions. This is God's Word. This is the truth. Jesus Christ said, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Then He said this, "Thy Word is truth." This is truth right here. This is truth. We believe it. So this is what matters. Amen? This is what matters right here. He can help us in temptation. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 18. We all face temptation. You know, being tempted is not a sin. Because Jesus Christ was tempted and He never sinned. It's when we give in to sin. Men, when you see something, you see a woman dressed like she shouldn't be dressed and exposing parts of her body she ought not to be. And you see that, that's not sin. It's sin when you turn back for a second look. Men, ladies, same thing for you. And that's just one example, but that's a good example. The Bible says here, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, verse 17. "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." That word succor means to help or succor. I'm not sure exactly how you say it. So I've heard it pronounced both ways. But it means to help. In other words, he is able to help them that are tempted. So when you are tempted, God can help you. There's another verse that goes along with that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." That simply means this. You're not the only one that's faced the temptation you're facing. Other folks have too. Then it says, "But God is faithful." Thank God for those four words. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." In other words, look, you're not the first person that's faced whatever temptation that you're faced with. Others have too. But God is faithful, and He is able to help us escape that temptation. Amen? He's able. He is able. Well, I'm glad about that. He's able to deliver us in trouble. Man, you ever been in trouble before? I don't necessarily mean trouble with your parents' kids, even though all kids get in trouble. I understand that. But I'm talking about some kind of trouble, even I'm talking to adults and kids. You're going to face trouble also. Again, not necessarily that kind of trouble, but you're going to face trouble in life. The devil's going to get after you. You decide to live for the Lord, and the devil is going to get after you. I am glad that when we face times of trouble, whether it be physically, whether it be financially, whether it be with family, I don't know what kind of trouble is going to come in your life, but I know this, He is able to deliver us. I'm glad about that. This is the story of the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not their real names, but that's what we, you know, most people know them as. Verse 16 says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'Now, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" Now remember, this is the story when they made the big image. And everybody had to bow down and say this and worship this image of God. Now you can imagine this. There'd be thousands and thousands of people there. Imagine out in the crowd, everybody's bowing down. Except there's three guys out there. They go back and find out three Jews, three Hebrews causing trouble. Imagine they said three Jews causing trouble just like they always do. Brought them to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, paraphrase, "Maybe you boys didn't understand. So let's go through it one more time." They go through it again, and they still didn't bow down. And so this is what they say. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Verse 17. "If it be so, our God whom we serve," look at this, "is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." Verse 18. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I'm glad about that. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't budge. And thank God they wouldn't burn either. Amen. Thank God they threw them right in that burning fiery furnace. And they came right out of there with not even the smell of smoke on their body. Not one hair was singed. You ever had your hair singed before? Man, I've burnt my eyebrows off before. I mean, I've leaned down there too close to the fire when I lit it, and the gas was already coming out. It burned them right off before. Maybe some of you have done the same thing. They didn't have a hair singed on their whole body. God is able to deliver us in trouble. Thank God for that. We're doing good. We're on number 7 now. He's able to fulfill desires. We've already seen that. But let's look to Psalms 145:19. Another verse. He is able to fulfill desires. If you have godly desires, God's able to take care of those. He's able to do that. And I think the Bible says this. I know it says this. That God will give you the desires of your heart. If you'll live for Him. Now, I don't know. I've had God fulfill the desires of my heart. Honestly, I've had God do things that was a desire that honestly I didn't even really pray about it. God just did it for me. He'll do things like that. He said He would. Right here, Psalms 145, verse 19, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him, who also will hear their cry and will save them. That's what it says, right? Maybe you have a desire to, or for one of your family members to be saved. Or you have a desire to do something for God. Or you have a desire to do this or do that. God is able to fulfill those desires. No matter how big they are, He's able to do it. He's able to make all grace abound. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. You know, when somebody says something, if they know what they're talking about, it has a whole lot more authority, don't they? If somebody gets up and teaches on something, for example, there used to be, and you know, you might know who I'm talking about, but there used to be a guy that went around doing seminars, a very well-known guy, used to go around doing seminars, and they were big seminars. They had people, and he made lots of money and had books and all kinds of stuff. But he used to have seminars on one of the topics that they talked about was marriage. Marriage seminars, and the guy was not married. Now, you can't tell me how to live with my wife if you don't have one. Amen? And you guys are all laughing, shaking your head. That's right, isn't it? When they start bawling and you look at them and say, "What's wrong?" They say, nothing's wrong. Oh, well. Or, I mean, they're happy when you go to bed one night, and the next morning they wake up and they're mad as can be at you. And you say, "What happened?" And these things just don't take off good. Amen? A guy that's never been married can't tell me what to do in a situation like that. So, Paul, the reason I said that is because the Apostle Paul, he says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." That's the verse we started off with. Don't you think that Paul could say that with authority? Because Paul, you read about what all he had been through. I mean, he had been through more than any of us will ever go through. And he said, after going through all of that, "And God is able." Amen. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Paul said that with authority because he had been there. So, 2 Corinthians 9:8. "Then He's able to keep us from falling." Jude chapter 24, not 24, there's only one chapter. Jude 24, "He's able to keep us from falling." And this has to do with, He can keep us right with God, but He also keeps us from losing our salvation. Jude chapter 24. Book of Jude's only one verse, but, I'm sorry, one chapter, 25 verses, but great chapter. Jude 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." The Lord can keep us from not only falling on our face spiritually, but the Lord has the power to keep us from losing our salvation. Thank God for that. He is able to preserve. Psalms 145 and verse 20. That word "preserve" means to keep from injury or destruction. And we use this a lot when we're talking about the Bible. But Psalm chapter 145, verse 20, "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy." Not only does He have the power to preserve His Word, which He did preserve His Word, and you and I have it in the English language tonight. And by the way, lots of other languages have it in their language. When we were in Mexico, when I would preach from the Spanish Bible, I believed with all of my heart that I was preaching from the Word of God. Now, I do know preachers that say that that God only gave the Bible in English. I don't believe that. I mean, why would He? I understand that this Bible in English right here, this King James Bible, this is the Word of God in English. In other languages, it's called different things. In Spanish, it's called the Reina Valera version. But it came from the text. Here's the thing. Where did it come from? What text did it come from? Our 1960 version, our 1960 version that we used, the Reina Valera, came from originally the Textus Receptus. And that's where this comes from. The Spanish Bible was completed in 1602. That group of 54 translators, King James translators, actually used the Reina Valera version in their work to give us this book right here. So it's not called the King James Version in other languages, but not every language has the Word of God, unfortunately, but many languages have the Bible in their own language, and thank God for that. Devil must not like what we're talking about, amen? He got that horn beeping out there. And then lastly of all, he's able to keep his promises. Boy, I'm glad about that. He's able to keep his promises. Look at Romans chapter number 4 and verse 21. Romans chapter 4. Well, I can preach louder than that horn can beep, so it's all right. Romans chapter 4 verse 21 says this. He's talking about Abraham. And by the way, folks, Romans, there's some things in Romans that's hard to understand. And I've said this before, but it's an encouragement to me that Peter said that Paul wrote some things that are hard to be understood. Even Peter didn't understand everything Paul wrote. But I'm telling you this, the book of Romans is a very, very, very important book. Chapter 4. This is talking about Abraham. Look at verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. This is talking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. God told Abraham he was going to have a son, and they were old. Remember, he was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. They were going to have a baby. That's impossible, isn't it? And you know, Abraham didn't have those verses in the New Testament that say, for with God, all things are possible. He didn't have the New Testament. But the Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God. I mean, not for one minute did he doubt that God would do what he said. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You know what you and I ought to do? We ought to be like Abraham. And we ought to be fully persuaded that everything God said he could do, he can do. And everything that he said he would do, he will do. Amen? We ought not stagger the promise of God. Doesn't matter if we can understand it. Doesn't matter if we can see it or not. Because God is able to keep his promises. Look, if you're going through something or you got a situation, hey, you get a hold of a verse and you hang on. And as you pray, you remind the Lord. And I've heard people say, you don't need to remind the Lord. He understands. Well, I look through this book and I find people in this book reminding God what he said. Amen. I don't mind reminding him what he said. You get a hold of a verse and you hang on and you say, God, you said in your word. And you can quote him the verse. Amen. The Bible says, pour out your heart before the Lord. You get you a verse and you claim it and you hang on to it. Because he is able to keep his promises. Man, what a God we have, folks. God is able. Let's all say it. God is able. Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll have one verse of invitation. As Miss Vicki comes and plays one verse, if the Lord spoke to your heart about something, then this is the time to do business with him. Maybe your faith has been faltering lately.